Very excited to have Mark Messier, Hockey Hall of Famer, join me in studio. We got lots to cover. Welcome back to Toronto. You've been everywhere these days. You're in an apartment in Toronto.
Yeah. I'm here a lot lately.
But you're here. You're in Edmonton. You're tuning around the ice with Wayne for the opening of Rogers Place, and then you're lighting up the alumni game in Winnipeg. You're like Forrest Gump. You're everywhere.
Yeah, it's been great. I really enjoyed going out for the opening game in Edmonton. That was quite exciting for everybody, and to finally see the rink, take on this first regular season National Hockey League game was a long time coming. Everybody's excited. It went off without a hitch, and it's fun being out there with Wayne and seeing a few of the guys.
It was because we hear, and maybe it's marketing or whatever, this is the best. This arena is going to be the nicest, so I haven't seen it yet. I don't know what to expect. Like, what were your impressions? Were you blown away?
Yeah, I think when you first see it from the outside, it's got a beautiful design from the outside. It's not a big hulking presence, even though it's right downtown. It seems to be, for some reason, really kind of slung low on the skyline. But then it's got some beautiful curves, and so from the outside design, it's very appealing. And then, of course, when you get in, they didn't miss out on any of the bells and whistles. And then the technology component of it is just second to none, so they can really put on some amazing light shows and offer the fans great experiences, which is where sports has really gone over the last 10 years.
And Mark Messier joins us in studio. We got him right up until primetime sports on the Edge Walker show. So from there, it's off to Winnipeg, and the Jays lose out, and it kind of took a cold snap, so I literally stayed inside the entire weekend. I watched every minute of that alumni game, and it was awesome. It was so fun. So there the Jets have this lead, and in classic 80s Oilers fashion, you guys come roaring back. And you look great, by the way. I was like, this is going to sound insulting, but I was surprised you were so dominant. How often are you playing?
I don't play enough, and I felt it after that game for the last, and even now my back and groin are sore, but I'm afraid to watch a replay because of how slow we are now. But, it's just a reminder of how tough a game hockey really is. And if you don't play and you don't, develop the muscles that you really need to play, the mind's there, you still think the game the same way. But from the time that you think to go get the puck and then try to go get it, your body's not reacting.
Well, some guys wore it worse than you did. So you came on and you had your off wing top corner. It was great. It was fun to watch.
Yeah, it was fun. I really enjoyed the game. I love playing hockey. I just don't get a chance to play enough. And every time I go to an event like that or something, I come out of there thinking, why don't I do this more often? First of all, it's great exercise and it's really fun to play hockey. It's just hard to play with some friends like that or consistently to develop any kind of skills.
I always do. Compare it or equate it to just guys playing in their Sunday night beer league. And I would love to see a bench cam, because the little things that I think you guys would just lose it on the bench is, I don't know, that one play where Craig McTavish kind of wheels up and then he doubles back in his own zone like he used to. I mean, for you, like, you guys must have roared.
Old habits die hard. Yeah, there's no question that. But, it was really funny, too, not only the game, but, we haven't been together in that environment for a long time. Well, you can imagine. And it just seemed like everybody reverted right back to who they were and what they did. There was no changes. They were obviously a lot older, but everybody took on the same character, and it was really kind of quite entertaining, to say the least.
So yourself it's not fair, too, because you have Timo Solani there and Ryan Smith is still playing senior hockey. So those are kind of the go-to guys that find themselves double shifting later.
Yeah, it's just a huge difference. There's a big disparity of age out there in some of the regard. Blair McDonald, who's probably at least, 7-8 years older than I am, still out there playing or scoring a goal and competing. And that's why I mentioned there's no shortage of compete on anybody there. It's just hard to get anything done on the ice when you haven't played. But Timo just recently retired there. You can just see the difference in the power in his legs in order to get around the ice.
So, and it was scripted perfectly, because there it is. It's 5-5 or 4-4, whatever it is, and less than a minute to go. and our own Craig Simpson, just a horrendous penalty for whatever reason, trips Timo Solani. You knew the game was over. I mean, it was scripted perfectly, but you could just tell he knew he lost his team the game, because the competitive juices are still going at that point.
I was just shocked,
What do you do?
Simmer has a bad back, and so for him to get out there and play that game, and not only play the game, but to compete the way he did, it was just, like I said, told him on the bench, I said, this is so clear to me when we used to play together there. You know, he wasn't the greatest skater, but he was smart, and he could compete, and there was no different in that game there, and I think he was a little disappointed, but it was sure fun watching him play out there.
Yeah, the fans liked it. Let's regular season game, playoff game, if someone with less than a minute to go on your club had taken a 200-foot penalty like that, I mean...
Oh, it happens, and it still happens. Stuff that you would never believe happens ultimately will, and... you just hope it doesn't, especially, when the games count, you just hope it doesn't happen at the most inopportune time. But that's why you spend 82 games in the regular season, making sure that players really know how to conduct themselves and not make those mistakes when at the least unlikely time.
Mark Messier joins us in studio, a Hockey Hall of Famer on the Andrew Walker Show. So we were talking a little baseball in the break. We got the replay of Game 2 up here in the studio right now, and I just think for the Cubs, it's incredible that they've gone 108 years and they were last in a World Series in 1945. It just defies description. You were in New York and, of course, won the Cup in 94, and that was a 54-year drought, and it was well known. I mean, even the call as the Cup is lifted, this will last a lifetime, we all know it. Do you feel a different pressure? Because you can kind of relate. No one can relate to what the Cubs feel right now. But the Indians, I mean, it's been 68 years for them. Can you feel it when a market is so starved like New York was?
I think so. And I think it plays a big part in the team's success. I remember going to New York, and of course I was a hockey fan and knew a lot about the original six before I got to New York, and I kind of knew of the New York Rangers story before I got there. But when I got there and immersed myself into the team, into the organization, into the city, that's when it really became real to me. It became apparent that there was an unbelievable thirst for these fans that had, generations of families and fans that have, hadn't seen the Stanley Cup ever raised, It was tangible, and to me, I think harnessing that energy, in my experiences of, winning the Stanley Cup was an important part of the team's success, and creating that link between the fans and the team, and creating that relationship. And I know what's happening in Chicago right now. They've had a good team for a while there. They've been building towards it. Their immersion into the city and the relationship is very similar to what happened to us in New York, and I don't think that looking back at it, of course the game has to be played on the ice and there's win or loss on the ice there, but it's all the external things that I think are so important and the way that they're handled there to really bring the success to the team on the ice.
And to do it in New York, I mean, there's so many different teams, there's so many different distractions, and when one team is in the dumps, then another one is going to be great. And it was weird, even what's happening in Cleveland right now. So they win an NBA title, they're in the World Series. It's this weird new era, and for you guys, you win in 94, and a year later there's Derek Jeter making his debut and ushered in this whole New York Yankee pantheon of greatness for the next 15 years.
Yeah, for me, growing up in Edmonton and being able to play in Edmonton and get an expansion team there, and 5 years later winning a Stanley Cup, it was...
And the Eskimos are winning every year. You guys are...
Eskimos had won five in a row, the city of champions, so to speak, and then we got on a bit of a tear. But just seeing and having family members that were huge hockey fans of the original six, whether they're Montreal or Toronto or whoever, Boston, Chicago, Detroit. And all of a sudden, here we are playing in the National Hockey League, against teams that they had grown up watching as they were kids. And so I kind of had an idea of the passion, for the original six teams. But, moving to New York and living there and hearing it and seeing families and meeting families that had gone to the Ranger games forever, and their dad had taken them and their dad had taken them, and going three generations back, it was real. It was emotional and everything for myself, and then for the team, and we knew what we were playing for. And again, it's, you look for any kind of advantage you can, any kind of type of motivation when you get that far into the playoff run, and And certainly we use the motivation of what it would mean to bring a Stanley Cup back to New York City in that run.
So Kiprios and Healy both come on the show here and there and annoy me and our listeners, but they both said, so the night of 94, and they have the cup and they drug it to McSorley's, this old, one of the oldest bars in New York. And I went there over the summer and kind of said, where should I go? And they said, go make sure you check out this bar. 'Cause that's where we were that night. And we even lost the cup for a little bit and had to find it. It was in the back. What that night for you, so you lifted at center ice, you got the goofy hat and the big grin. What does your night look like?
Yeah, you know, for me, it's such a blur. I don't remember getting out of the Madison Square Garden until very early in the morning, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, by the time we had, you know, we had a dinner set up inside the building after and a family party and all that. And by the time we were ready to leave there, it had to have been 2 o'clock. And traditionally what happens is the team takes the trophy that night and they go somewhere together and celebrate it with the friends and family. And we had always gone to a friend's pub up on the Upper East Side. That was kind of our team headquarters all year long. So whenever we went for a beer after the game, we'd always go there. So we ended up going there, and it's just right in a residential area in an old brownstone. They shut the streets down and it became a bit of a block party because it's a tiny little pub, and I just remember being in there till the early hours of the morning and the sun coming up and going for breakfast after that. So not a lot of sleep before the parade.
Mark Messier joins us in studio on the Andrew Walker Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. So your early impressions, like, here we are, and we'll talk about the Oilers, who they're 6-1. They win the opener, you're there, and they keep winning. They beat the Caps last night. But this Leafs team, who is going through it, but all of a sudden you have Austin Matthews, who, you know, dare we say maybe looks better than most people expected. What have you liked from his game so far?
Well, there's not a lot not to like. You know, I just can't help but think about his own journey to get to that point and the challenges that he must have faced growing up in Phoenix and looking for ice time and amount of travel required and the passion that it probably took to stay in the game. And so you think about where he had come from to get to that magical moment of playing his first National Hockey League game. And I don't think things happen accidentally. I think that, you know, he was able to really, you know, relax and enjoy the moment, and all the preparation that he put in for all those years kind of came to that one moment there where he had a night that, you know, like first time ever, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you got to love, you got to take your hat off to what he's been able to do to prepare himself for that moment. He took advantage of it. But more importantly, I think whatever struck everybody is the maturity that he's played with in all areas of the game. And of course, there's tons of room for improvement, you know, in so many facets of the game because he's only 18 years old. But wow, he's handled himself amazingly well this far in the season there. And it doesn't look like he's going to slow down. He plays every game, and he's got tremendous skill inside the blue line and great vision there. And of course, he's teamed up with a pretty skilled guy with Nylander there that can get him the puck in the right spot. So they look good.
Did you play with Michael in New York?
I did not. I played against him for many years, but not with him.
Mark Messier joins us in studio. So it's turned into such a young guy's game, and with the cap and entry level deals, right? I mean, you want your good players young and cheap. It's changed, and it was different because you guys were all young, so young, coming up together, which made you guys so unique. And then as time goes on, and so you're the leader, the captain in Edmonton, and the leader and captain in New York. Did you have teenagers? I'm trying to rack my brain, like when things got. When a teenager came up and all of a sudden, okay, like now you have to try to teach this guy how to adjust to the league. What was the...
No question. In fact, our last cup in Edmonton, we had that kid line of Murphy, Graves, and Jelena, which was incredible. They provided us with an incredible boost of energy and a third line that could really skate. And I don't think we would have won that cup without them, to be quite honest. And so I think... teams always need that mixture of experience and leadership with youth and enthusiasm, and it keeps things fresh around the room. And you know, you can really rely on those kids to chop a lot of wood during the regular season and give some of your veterans hopefully some rest, especially teams that have been there a few years now, like Chicago and Pittsburgh, and teams that have been banging on the door for a long time. And that infusion of youth is essential. And the stronger the leadership in the room, the easier it is for the transition for those players to come in and take a role and provide a role for the team. And the leaders really kind of allow them to do that, which makes them feel comfortable.
When to believe that the Oilers have turned the corner is always a yearly conversation. And with every win, with every save that Cam Talbot makes and every play that Connor McDavid makes, they make more believers in a lot of people. Yeah. They're 6-1. I still think being in a playoff hunt is going to be a successful season for this team. It's a long one, as you know. You know, what do you see? What's going to be the tough part for this team?
Well, it's a funny league in that regard, where things can change in a hurry. You know, the one thing that they've been able to do, I think, so far is really kind of solidify themselves in goal with Cam Talbot. You know, I saw him play with the Rangers on many nights there, and he's a real goaltender. Mm-hmm. He's very athletic. Their goaltender coach said there's only one guy in the league quicker post-to-post than Lundqvist, and that was Cam Talbot, and that's quite a compliment. So I think that was something that they needed to address, and they have. But the questions are going to remain all year long because of, you know, the past few years where things have been, you know, tough. So, you know, you look at what Mario did in Pittsburgh and what Wayne was able to do in Edmonton and what Crosby was able to do in Pittsburgh as well, and Taze and Kane in Chicago. You know, you get a player like McDavid come to an organization that's amassed some pretty good talent over the years, things can change in a hurry. They've addressed, in my opinion, one of the most important ingredients of a successful team nowadays is defense. If you don't have a strong defense there, it's really hard to play and to compete. And they've, you know, they had to give up a great hockey player in order to solidify a big, strong, young defenseman. And some of the other guys are starting to mature into their games now. So all signs are pointing in the right direction.
Yeah, it's tricky, isn't it? Because that'll be the story here in Toronto, too, eventually. Do you have the D to compete? And if you want to get those guys via trade, like, you're just not going to like the price, because you just saw it, you know, Taylor Hall for Adam Larson. It seems crazy, but that's the going rate. Well, they're hard to find. They're hard to draft.
Well, and then if you do draft them, it's years before a defenseman's really kind of, you know, experienced enough to really, you know, take you to the next level there. But you have to have your cupboards full of defensemen, in my opinion, through the draft, and develop them as you go along. And, you know, I just look back at all the years that we're successful in championships. We always had, you know, an excellent defense, and teams that not only could stop people, but also could move the puck out of your zone and transition the puck up to the forwards. And nowadays, without the elimination of hooking and holding, and it puts a lot of pressure on the defense there, and they have to be quick. They have to be heady. They have to have good skill, good stick skills, and they got to be able to move the puck in transition.
I had to laugh. I was telling these guys, we've met before, you would not remember it, but so it's 2006, and I'm working in Red Deer, Alberta, which you would have crossed multiple times in
played there
on,
many
on
nights.
The bus. Yes,
played there many nights in the old barn.
Yeah, and so so the story, it's 06 and it's the preseason. So Wayne is coaching Phoenix still, and I went up to, it was an NHL preseason game, and I went up to do some stuff because one of the kids in Red Deer was Martin Hanzel was playing preseason his rookie year, and because he was such old hat with the Edmonton media and Wayne, I had a chance to sit down and do a little one-on-one with him, and being a kid, it was wonderful, amazing, and I remember thinking, because there's Wayne, he's not much bigger than I am, he's not an intimidating presence, as you know, and I remember thinking, you know, it's really not that big of a deal. It's, you know, Wayne, he's a nice guy, and well, I finally met him. And then later that year, it's 06, and so the Oilers go their miracle run to the final, and everybody was there, including you. And so I'm down in the bowels of then Rexall Place, and it's after a game in the cup final against Carolina, and everyone's kind of, you know, crushed into this corner, and there's cameras going by, and I look up to the guy beside me, and it's you. Except there you are. So I remember how not intimidating Wayne was. But then there's you who, like, you're bald and you're ripped and you can still play and you got this leather jacket. And I'm like, man, this guy owned New York and dated Madonna or whatever. And I remember, like, I couldn't even look at you that day. And Wayne was no big deal.
Well, Wayne did have a uncanny ability to disarm everybody and treat everybody very respectfully. I can just remember how many interviews that he had done with foreign press people that didn't know a lot about hockey, but were trying to figure out some angle to interview Wayne, and he was incredibly patient and never demeaned anybody for a crazy question. And Wayne taught us a lot in that regard.
Not that you're not disarming or not nice, but you're not.
Yeah, I guess everybody's got their own style.
Hey, good stuff. We appreciate you making time for us. And congrats on the great showing in the alumni game. It was fun to watch. We always like when you come through town.
Yeah, it was fun. Good to be here with you.